Shalom, everybody. If you remember last time, we learned about, Rav Kook talks about the transition from this world to the next world, and by popular demand, people wanted to dedicate a shiur to different sources, what really happens to a person after he passes away. And now we're going to do this very, very succinctly, because short, that's our framework. But first, I'm going to deal with the question why the Torah doesn't talk more about the world to come and about Tchiyat HaMetim. It is mentioned, it is alluded, when the Torah talks about Karet. So it's very clear that, what are you cut off from? You're cut off after you die. That's what you're cut off from on Israel in the world to come. But compared to what children today ask any kid in first grade, you know, what happens when you do the mitzvot, he says, well, you get into heaven, or you go to hell, or you go to Tchiyat HaMetim. And in the Torah, it talks about reward and punishment in this world. And that's the predominant thing that we find. Just five basic reasons that, again, we'll do very quickly. I'll mention the sources. The Ramban in Sefer Shmot, Perek Vav Pasuk Vet, says that is the most logical thing in the world to have a spiritual reward for spiritual actions. But what isn't logical, and what the Torah has to stress, is a physical reward in this world. That if you do the mitzvot, which are spiritual actions, you get rain, you get a Jewish state, the Israeli army will be victorious, etc. The Ramban says that the Torah has to say that which is less logical. The Ibn Ezra is sort of the opposite. This is the Ibn Ezra, if you want to take it down, in Devarim, Perek Lamed Bet, Pasuk Lamed Tet. The Ibn Ezra says that it's very difficult to understand the world to come because you don't see it. And that's the reason why the Torah doesn't talk that much about the world to come. Better, the Torah is written for everyone, and it should be understood for everyone. The Kuzari, in Ma'amar Aleph, Piska Kuf Dalid, Rabbi Yudah Levi says that the world to come, nobody's been there and has come back. And therefore, it's better to talk about reward and punishment in this world, that if we do the mitzvot, Hashem will give us rain, etc., etc. The Rambam, and this is the most famous answer, maybe, in Hilchot Melachim, Perek Yud Bet, Halacha Bet, the Rambam says that we should not be preoccupied with the world to come. What should be preoccupying us is this world. To be good people, to make this world a good place, to be a good person, to be an active member of Am Yisrael, etc., etc. And in the end, yeah, we'll go to heaven and we will wake up for the revival of the dead, but that's not what is supposed to be preoccupying us. A fifth direction is that of Rav Yosef Albo in Sefer Yikarim, in Ma'amar Dalid, Perek Mem. Rav Yosef Albo says that the reward and punishment in the Torah is the national reward and punishment because the Torah is written for the nation of Israel. And rain is a national reward or a national punishment. You don't have rain in your field and not in his field, in your neighbor's field. Right? Who gets the reward and who gets the punishment, that is really what's going to happen in the world to come. Because then it's really individualistic. But in this world, it's more on a national level, and that's why the Torah, in Parshat Bechukotai, in Parshat Ki Tavo, talks more about reward and punishment on a national level. Rav Kook in Sefer Orot, page Kuf Yud, is a fifth approach. That's how you're counting them. It's sort of a continuation of Rabbi Yosef Albo. And he says that, and also the Rambam, he sort of combines the Rambam of Yosef Albo. He says that as long as Am Yisrael is in Eretz Yisrael, what should be preoccupying us is Am Yisrael. A person should not be fixated on my piece, share in the world to come, my share in the revival of the dead. And that's why the during the time of the Beit HaMikdash, reward and punishment was seen on the national level. Is it good for Am Yisrael, our economy, or security, or is it bad for Am Yisrael? What happened was, and this is the transition, in Chazal, also in Ketuvim, in Sefer Daniel, as we'll see, it does talk more about Olam Haba and Triat HaMetim. That's from the Galut, right? All of us grew up in Galut. And in Galut, where Judaism is more of an individual thing, so, because the Jews are spread out, and you don't have that national language, and the national army, and the national state, and you know, everything is more individual, so people started getting more fixated on the individual. And that's why Chazal also start talking more about the world to come, and Triat HaMetim. But Rav Kook stresses that's not the ideal of Judaism. The ideal of Judaism is that what should preoccupy me is that it be good for Am Yisrael. And he gives the example that in one of his letters, that when the sun is shining, you don't see the stars. You don't need the stars. So when we're in the land of Israel and the sun is shining and Am Yisrael is shining, and the Shekhinah is shining, and you see miracles in the Beit HaMikdash, and we have prophecy, etc., etc., you see godliness in this world. And it's really kishraga b'tiara. Remember an Aramaic expression that to talk about the world to come when Am Yisrael is in the land and functioning properly is like lighting a candle in the middle of the afternoon. Like, it doesn't add that much. And these are the basic reasons why in Galut the sources talk more about the world to come. Nevertheless, it is interesting, and most people are curious what happens when we pass away. And so we'll go into the screen share and take a look. Here we go. Okay, last time we did Rav Kook in Source 1, and we did the Ramchal in Source 2. Let's start with the Meiri. And just simply the order of things is, I'll give you a simple way of remembering it. Those who daven Shacharit on Shabbat, right before Kel Adom, we say, Ein Aruch Lecha Ba'olam Hazeh, Ein Zulatcha Malkenu Lechaye Ha'olam Haba, Efes Biltecha Goalenu Limot HaMashiach, That's the order. That first is, let's see it in the Meiri. This is the Meiri in Chibura Tshuva, Meshiv Nefesh Mamar Bet Parakhet. V'chen timtza gam ken besidur anshei Knesset hagdola shesidro achar ha'olam hazeh miyad. Kodem yumot ha'mashiach v'kodem zman tchiyat ha'metim ke'omram. Right? The world to come, what we call Olam HaNeshamot, the world of the souls, is right after a person passes away in this world. So, Ein Aruch Licha, it's a little different here in his Nusach, Ba'olam HaZeh. First, you're in this world. Ve'en Zulatcha Malkenu Lichay Olam Haba. When a person passes away, his body is buried here. His soul goes to the Olam HaNeshamot, the world to come. And this world and the world to come exist simultaneously. Right, if you have grandparents who passed away, they, as we speak, they are in Olam HaNeshamot. We are in this world. So there are two things that come simultaneous. But anybody who's ever in the world to come has already been in this world. Okay, now what confuses it a little bit is Eves Bildecha Goalenu Limot HaMashiach. And we are in Yimot HaMashiach. If you look in, and there's something we've had learned at length, anybody who wasn't there can find the classes on YU Torah. The Rambam says, Yimot HaMashiach is when you have a Jewish state. Well, we have the Jewish state. The Gemara in Sanhedrin Tzadichet says, Yimot HaMashiach is when the land of Israel starts blooming. Well, the land of Israel is blooming. And we got, I think it's the eighth strongest economy in the world. And the Gemara Megillah Yud Zayin Amud Bet says that Yimot HaMashiach is Kibbutz Galiot, when the Jews come back to the land of Israel. and we're back. Anybody who wants to come back can come back and be part of Kibbutz Galiot. Statistically, they had an article in Makor Rishon about 3 weeks ago where they brought a machloket between the statisticians. That it, I mean, you just think for a minute, you realize why there are a lot of different opinions. Some say that most of the Jews in the world are already in the land of Israel. Regarding religious Jews, by the way, two-thirds are in the land of Israel. The vast majority of religious Jews are already here. Regarding Jews in general, there are those that say that it's going to be 8 years. In other words, in Tav Resh Tzadi Bet, that is 8 years, 2032.
Tav Shin, not Tav Resh.
Tafshin, right. In 2032, in 8 years, everyone agrees that most of the Jews are going to be in the land of Israel for the first time since the exile of the 10 tribes almost 3,000 years ago. In other words, any way you look at the Yemot HaMashiach, we are in Yemot HaMashiach. So today, we also have two worlds that are simultaneously. But it's not Olam Hazer really anymore, because Olam Hazer really was the Galut. Yemot HaMashiach, we in this world are in Yemot HaMashiach. Those who pass away go into world, the world to come, Olam HaNeshamot. So there are also two worlds at present. And the final stage is Ven Domelech HaMoshienu L'Tchiyat HaMetim, that after everyone finishes dying, Hashem will revive the dead. Now, when I teach like high school kids, this is where I stop. For adults, I'll add parenthetically, what throws off most people is the Rambam. Because the Rambam, on the one hand, he is super famous, and everyone learns the Rambam. On the other hand, on this issue, he veers for mainstream Judaism. What we just said is mainstream Judaism. It's in the Siddur. Wherever you look, just about, except for the Rambam. This is one of the sugyot that got rabbis angry at the Rambam. Because the Rambam said, he agrees with everyone that first is this world, then when you pass away, it's the world to come. Then there's going to be the revival of the dead, Tchiyat HaMetim. But the Rambam, like Aristotle, says it's illogical that the ideal is that we're going to have a body. So he says that after you pass away, after Tchiyat HaMetim, you go back to the world of the souls, Olam HaNeshamot. Now, you probably saw that in Igeret Tchiyat HaMetim, in Ilchot Yesodei HaTorah. And again, because the Rambam is so famous, this is the point I learned from experience. This is what throws everyone off. So we're going to put the Rambam on the side, close the parentheses, and we're going to go back to mainstream Judaism, which is basically Chazal, the Zohar, most of the Rishonim, etc. Okay, the Midrash HaNe'alam, for example, says exactly that. Source number 4. Ein ben olam hazeh l'tchiyat hamitim, ela niktikiyut v'asagat yediyah. That in Tchiyat HaMetim, we will have bodies, we will eat. We're going to see afterwards, the Ben Ishchai says, there's even going to be some kind of procreation, physical contact between men and women, but it'll be a lot less physical. Rav Nachman Amar Varichut Yamim. Well, Tchiyat HaMetim, so all that is in Acharon Shebekulam. And as we saw in the Meiri, and as opposed to the Rambam, the final stage is Tchiyat HaMetim. Yeah.
Where do the souls, from what aspect, where do the souls come into this world in order to move on to the next world?
Okay. So the souls are in what's called, the question was asked, where are the souls before they go into this world? So the souls are in like a bank of souls. And they come down one by one. We're going to talk soon about Gilgul Neshamot, right, and reincarnation. So that's also directly connected with your question. I should also remember to mention, we're not going to do sources from the Zohar. That's something that I learned from my Rabbanim. You quote Zohar, but anybody who wants to learn Zohar can learn Zohar. But it's more of a quoted thing rather than learning in a source sheet. Yeah. So yeah, everyone's over 40. You hit 40? Yeah, not yet. Okay. Bekitzur, the Zohar describes something that is Rav Chaim David Alevi does a very interesting job. I didn't see this in the Zohar. I saw Rav Chaim David Alevi in Aseh Lecha Rav. I think it's Chelek Bet. He brings, remember, some of the older people may remember, there was a best-selling book called Life After Life. There were two that wrote about it. There was a Professor Moody and Professor Kibler-Ross. Anyway, one of them wrote a book, Life After Life, and what they did, I believe it was their doctorate, they interviewed several hundred people who died a clinical death, and, you know, they had what's called out-of-body experiences. And, no, but they officially died. And they saw their body down here, and they describe exactly what Chazal describe in the Zohar. The idea of the dark tunnel and the white light at the end and a very warm, appealing atmosphere and all of your relatives and friends who passed away come to greet you. And all of that is in most of the accounts of people who died and went there and came back to speak about it. And it's very interesting. So if you want to see documented cases, so just go into those two authors. Also, the Gemara Masechet Sanhedrin, source number 5. Also, like I said, this is mainstream Judaism. Tzadikim she'atid HaKadosh Baruch Hu lachiyotan einam chozrim la'afaran. As opposed to the Rambam, who again is confusing everyone, mainstream Judaism, Chazal. This is the Gemara in the Masechet Sanhedrin, says that the last stop is Tchiyat HaMetim. So when you explain these things to your children, don't get thrown off by the Rambam. The problem is when they get to high school, they learn the Rambam, and that's what stays in their head usually for the rest of their life, and then everything gets confused.
So does that mean, according to the Babri, the Sanhedrin, that there is no death after Tchiyat HaMetim?
Correct.
Even for people who never died.
Even for?
People who never made it to Olam HaNeshamah.
Oh, I mean, so who gets in?
At some point we get to Yimot HaMashiach.
Not everyone gets into
that. And there's some people that were never dead. There were people 20 years old at the time.
I understand. Yeah.
So they never go through that.
No, apparently that everyone is going to die. There's even, according to Gemara and Sanhedrin, there's going to be like a hafsaka between this world and the world of Tchiyat HaMetim. So everyone's going to pass through. And that's what we saw last week in Rav Kook, that you have to pass through that world to come. And we're going to see now in the sources why it's really logical. Okay. But let us go on. What goes on in Olam HaNeshamot, in the world of the souls? After a person passes away, so the Gemara in Masechet Brachot, source number 6, Daf Yud Zayin, says as follows: Olam haba ein bo lo achila velo shtia velo piria verivya. The world of the souls, again, we're not talking about Tchiyat HaMetim, we're talking about heaven. And there's no physical body, and there's no business, and there's no money, and there's no jealousy, and no hate, and no competition. Ela, so what do? Tzadikim yoshvim v'ataroteim b'roshehem. We just sit back and enjoy being with God. Now this is an opportunity to talk about the difference between this world and the world to come. And we spoke about this once, and the Dat Vinod Ramchal talks at length about this. We'll just do this orally, that there are two types of pleasure which contradict. And that's why Hashem had to create two different worlds for those two types of pleasure. This pleasure is this world is the world of free choice, where Hashem hides himself, and that enables us to run the world. But when we get to the world to come, Hashem is going to be that much more prevalent, and we won't have any free will. simply because we'll just enjoy being with God. As opposed to this world, the pleasure is to be like God, to be independent, to be free will, to be giving and altruistic. And a famous story of the Vilna Gaon, who, when he was dying, he was crying. And the students asked him, "Why are you crying? Or you're definitely going to straight to Olam Haba." And the Vilna Gaon says, "Well, I'm crying because I'm going to miss the type of pleasure that you can only have in this world, which is to take a half a shekel and buy a candy for a child and make him happy. Because here we are the givers. In the world to come, we are with God, so obviously we're not the givers. We're just sitting back and enjoying. And, you know, just imagine the greatest shiur and the greatest experience and the greatest davening you ever had. And what we do in the world to come is that we're constantly improving, but we're not held back by a body. We don't have limitations of 24 hours. We don't have to go to sleep. We don't have to work for a living. We don't have to stop to eat or rest. And it's just smooth sailing. Just that, based on a person's choices in this world, some people, their advancement is like this, and others, their advancement is like this, and others, their advancement is like this. There's everyone's advancing spiritually, but your rate of advancement depends on every person's choices in this world. Let's see the Gemara in Source 7, the Ramban in Shar HaGmul. By the way, the most encompassing sources about what happens after a person passes away is the Ramban's Shar HaGmul. It's found in Kitvei HaRamban of Mosar Rav Kook. And it's worth reading. It's not difficult. Worth learning. And the Ramban writes as follows: Shochnei Gan Eden Shu B'mivchar L'mevin B'tziurei HaDvarim Kol Sodot HaElyonim. What we do is that in the world to come, we are going to understand truth with no limit of IQ, no limit of ADD, right? There are no limits. Just understand truth. V'nafsham mit'alim b'limud. And constantly, like I said, we are advancing and growing spiritually. V'ro'em mar'ot Elohim b'chevrat kavod el'yonim min ha'makom ahu. Like we said in Masechet Brachot, that we are with Hashem. Can you imagine the greatest Rebbe, the greatest teacher you ever had? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a lot greater. And you just enjoy it full time. U'mesigim kol ma sheyuchal ladat u'lavin b'limud Moshe b'Sinai. Right, just like Moshe Rabbeinu was learning with Hashem in Sinai. And the Ramban goes on there to say that all your questions are going to be answered right away. In other words, all the questions like, why do bad things happen to good people? And why was there a Holocaust? And why was there all these difficult questions they have in this world? As soon as you get up there, the questions don't even begin. In other words, the answers are so clear. There's a clarity there that everyone's just understanding everything. And, you know, like the saying is about, what is it? Of Uri Zohar. Zichronot Tzadik Livracha. He was a turning point, and he was like the first famous Baal Tshuva in Israel.
Right.
And he was like, I once saw somebody describe him as Johnny Carson, Steven Spielberg, and Woody Allen mixed up in one. Like Israel was a very small country, so he was like the top movie producer and the top comedian and the top talk show host. He was the top of, and all of a sudden he starts showing up with a kippah and with tzitzit, and how did he become a Baal Tshuva? So they put him in. He had a lot of questions, and somebody put him in touch with Rav Zilberman from Yerushalayim, and he said, I have a lot of questions. He says, okay, come over for Shabbat. And by Motzei Shabbat, if you have any questions left, so then you can ask him. And he spent a Shabbat with the family. And by Motzei Shabbat, Rav Uri Zohar said, I did not have any questions left. As soon as you experience Shabbat in truth on a high level, just there are no more questions. And that is one of the first things that happens when we get to Olam Haba. Right? You just get it clear. Just imagine if you have a bird's eye view where you understand the past. You see the past. You see the future. So everything makes sense. Our problem is, like little children, we see everything close, too close. And we see everything locally. We weren't around 200 years ago. We're not going to be around 200 years from now. We don't even know what's going to be 10 years from now. And that's why that's the source of most of the misunderstanding. So that's the first. So when we get to Olam Haba, just no need for questions. Another important point that Chazal say in several places, the Ramban brings it in Shara Gemul, Source 8. Bara HaKadosh Baruch Hu Gehinom V'Gan Eden. There is heaven and there is hell. V'kama revach b'nehem. What is the distance between them? Rabbi Yochanan Amar Kotel. It's the same place, but there is like a mechitza, a wall, that separates heaven and hell. Rabbi Acha Amar Tefach. There's no wall. It's just 8 centimeters between the two. Rabbanan Amri Yishtei Atzvaot. No, there are just 2 fingers between heaven and hell. For Rabbanan Amri Yishtei Atzvaot. It's the exact same place. In other words, and the Tivot Shalom and Chassidut, they elaborate on this, that heaven and hell is really the same place. And if you think about it, in a world where there is no place, everyone is in the same place, because there's no place. So everyone's in the same place. But for some people, it is paradise, while for the other people, it is as boring as hell. And just imagine, again, it's not saying that Olam Haba is like a yeshiva, but for some people, you know, looking back at our years in yeshiva, it was like the greatest time of our life, and it was paradise. For other people, sitting and learning Torah, you know, it's as boring as hell. Or I'll give another example. For some people, their definition of fun is their smartphone. Today, everything's on the smartphone. You know, and whenever I see young people today, as soon as there's a break, recess, they're on their smartphone, and they're checking their messages, and checking the news, and listening to music. Everything's on the smartphone. Now, one of the most frustrating things in one of the midrashot where I teach, I don't know if they do it on purpose. I don't think so, because it's hard to do, but in most of the building, there's no reception. And so the girls have to go to another place to get reception. Now, if you can't, if it's raining outside or something like that, so it's a pain in the neck, right? We've all been in places where you need reception. You have to make an important phone call, and there's no reception. Now, if somebody's whole definition of fun is his smartphone, and you go to Olam Haba, and there's no reception, ever, for him, it's as boring as hell. And so he's going to need a transition period in order to teach him really what is more important in life. But I think the Ramban brings it down that if somebody wants to know, I imagine that's everyone's curious, am I going, for me, is it going to be heaven or hell? Like where I'm at now. Right? Remember Ed Koch, how am I doing? And the Ramban gives a very interesting, simple litmus test. He says, Chazal say that Shabbat is 1/60th of Olam Haba. If you enjoy Shabbat, then you're going to enjoy Olam Haba. If you don't enjoy Shabbat, some people don't enjoy Shabbat. Right? I remember as a little kid, I remember one of my first questions in Jewish philosophy, I asked my father, I said to him, I don't enjoy Shabbat. He said, why not? So, because everything's fun, everything that's fun you can't do, right? No television, you can't play ball, you can't, no bicycle, you know, and everything. So if somebody's, you know, is at the age of 30, 40, never grows up, and his definition of fun is just those things which are outside of himself, and that's what Shabbat is about. Shabbat is what's called a chassidut, bichinat Shabbat. It's to get pleasure with me, myself, and I. It's like what's a hitbodedut, you know, to go out in the forest. And if somebody's definition of fun is that he needs his smartphone, he needs his car, he needs his money, he needs his whatever, music, and he's just frustrated because he does not enjoy himself. Now, the problem is that when you go to Olam Haba, again, there's no physical pleasure. And it takes a little while, and that is part of what we're going to see now, to transit, undergo the transition, how do you say? No. To make the transition into that mindset, so that, and according to the Gemara Masechet Shabbat, this is what is called Gehinom, hell, that it takes 12 months. It takes 12 months to change that mindset to learn what really is important in life and what's really less important in life, especially in the eternal world, because, you know, that's it from now on. And somebody who made their life decisions based on everything in this world and really outside of him and not inside him, and he just doesn't enjoy himself, so it's going to take 12 months for him to get his act together. In Source 10, Rav Yosef Albo writes in Sefer Yikarim, Mamar Dalid, Perek Lamed Gimel. We're running out of time, so let's get to the main point towards the end. Source 10. Where he talks about Din Akever O Chibut Akever. Right? These are terms that you may have heard of that... talks about chibut hakever. Literally, it means to get knocked around in the grave. And now, what happens at a funeral is that the body is down here. Yeah, you're calling me too, I think.
You're calling the whole group.
Okay. And the soul is at his own funeral. And he sees what's going on. And by the way, that's an interesting nafkamina. Imagine everybody sometimes has to decide, you know, you can't go everywhere. Should I go to the levaya, to the funeral, or should I go to the shiva? Mm-hmm. So in general, I'm simplifying it a little, if you're friends with the person who passed away, or you respect the person that you passed away, you should really go to the funeral. Right. He sees who is there and who's not there. Hmm. And on the other hand, if it's a friend's parents who pass away, so it's better off going to the shiva, you know, the person who passed away. He's not taking attendance, he doesn't know you. And so that's in general. So what Rav Yosef Albo is saying is that at the funeral, that's the beginning of the tikkun, to put things into proportion. One of the first things to set in is, if you notice, I have this habit, I did it again, that every time I say me or I point to my body. And the first thing that we understand after we pass away is that, hey, we're alive and well and our body's down here, that I am not my body, I am my soul. And therefore, a person who associates himself and life with his body, especially somebody like who's a model, right, or somebody, you know, who's always, you know, dealing with their physical appearance, and then he sees their physical appearance is getting knocked around and staying here, and that's morita to asimon, as they say, you know. And if a person identifies with his body and he sees his body's getting knocked around and, you know, in all these uncomfortable situations, and, you know, you see the body, in Israel, you see the body, the shape of the body, and it's sort of frightening, and especially if it's you, it's frightening. But if you're in that mindset that I am my soul, and I invest my time in my soul, and I invest my time as much as I can, you know, obviously we have a body, and we have needs in this world, but in general, if a person identifies with his neshama, that is me, then you don't really mind your funeral, because it doesn't, you know, that's not me, you know, that's my body. I was overweight anyway, or, you know, you know. And, you know, now I'm more free and don't have any migvalot limitations.
When I said your souls and your moach, we say every morning before we put on the tefillin, the soul is on your moach.
Okay, so that's a good allegory. I would say, though, sometimes a person's moach, if a person, chas v'shalom, has a stroke and his brain isn't functioning, but all of that memory and experiences and knowledge and all that is, today they call it an anan. Is it cloud in English? Yeah, right? That even, you know, if your computer breaks, if you remember to use, I use a Dropbox, right? And so even if your computer breaks, nothing is lost because it's in the cloud. That's a really a good analogy, because your body or your hard disk, right, stays here, right, and it's not functioning anymore. But nothing gets lost because your knowledge, your memories, etc. Let's look in source 11, where Rav Sadia Gaon and Emunot Vedeot Mamar Vav Pei Amud Bet. He writes. So we spoke about Chibut HaKever. What I wanted to see in source 10 in Rav Yosef Albo is where he talks about the, you know, I remember Billy Graham always used to talk about the fires of hell. Who's this preacher and Christian evangelist? And there are nevuot, there are prophecies, there are sources that discuss hell as a hot place. But according to Judaism, that what it's not talking about heat, because we don't have a body, but we're talking about is embarrassment. That a person, as if it were, today we would say, you have your video of your life, and a second video of what you could have and should have been doing at the same time. And if it's the same video, you know, you're happy. If there's a discrepancy between the video, say everyone's talking Lashon Hara, and you join in, right, then you're really, really embarrassed. And, you know, when you're embarrassed, nobody was ever really embarrassed, your blood runs to your face, and you feel really hot of embarrassment, and everyone sees what you did, and especially you yourself realize at that point that you didn't have a clarity. And that's really what happens. And again, heaven and hell is really the same place. That 12-month period, what we call hell, Gehinnom, is to help us get that clarity to separate between my body and my soul, to focus, to get into Bechinat Shabbat, a living Shabbat. And part of the seminar is that embarrassment of, like, how stupid could I be? Like, that was really stupid. Can't believe I did that. And I knew it was wrong, especially if you knew it was wrong. You didn't know it was wrong, so it was Bishogeg, or on, it's not that bad. So the source 12 is the Gemara Masechet Shabbat that says that that seminar is 12 months. Here, maybe we'll already mention, because we're running out of time, Gilgul Neshamot. There are those that don't write about Gilgul Neshamot, but it is the predominant opinion, especially if we're learning Rav Kook. Rav Kook was a Kabbalist, and all the Kabbalists, that is, and the Ramban, Rabbeinu Bechaye, the Abarbanel, the Zohar. If you want to see the sources, they, like the big parsha, where they talk about Gilgul Neshamot, is regarding Yibum, where if a person did not have children, he's going to have to return as another person in order to have children, unless his brother has children with his widow. On the other hand, Rav Sadia Gaon, Rav Yosef Albo, Rav Chasdai Kreskas, they don't mention, as a matter of fact, those, they say explicitly that they don't believe in Gilgul Neshamot. The Rambam doesn't mention it, so he's probably in that category as well. So, but according to those who do talk about reincarnation, a person is asked, and listen well, because this is a very common misconception, A person is asked if he needs that tikkun, if he's not going to go straight to Olam HaNeshamot, right? A tikkun is, he needs to be fixed up a little. He is asked whether he wants to go to hell for 12 months and or get another chance and come back for another try. And according to the Zohar, almost everybody prefers coming back for another try. You know, because there are certain things we did right, certain things we did wrong. Okay, so what I did wrong, I want to get right next time.
Moed bet.
Yeah, moed bet, right? I never thought of that. Yeah. And by the way, you can keep coming back if a person, you have free will there regarding this issue. You can keep coming back as many times as you need. And according to Kabbalah, at this stage in history, all of us have already been here before. And we just come back to need that last tikkun. I'll tell you when I got into the...
Excuse me, yeah. Can I ask something?
Sure.
How come that the only sons have to say Kaddish and not daughters?
Oh, well, first of all, daughters could say Kaddish, but they usually aren't in shul. Today, there are women who do say Kaddish, so it's not a matter of principle. Yeah. Boys are usually the ones who are in shul and they say it. If there's only daughters, for example, so
what do you do?
The most common thing to do is to pay somebody. In most yeshivot, you just call the office and they have a certain fee. I don't know. I have no idea what it is. And you just ask somebody to say Kaddish three times a day for a year. Actually, they do it 12 months. If it's a child, they do it 11 months, but we won't get into that. Most people who are here because, we blew it before. And what is our tikkun? So in short, there are two opposites, which don't contradict. Part of our tikkun, if a person feels a certain mitzvah, which he feels a natural leaning, right? Say somebody's a diehard Zionist and made Aliyah, or likes volunteering and helping people, or everyone has their favorite mitzvah. That's a sign that that's part of your tikkun, because you have a natural leaning towards that. You don't remember it, because if you would remember what you're here to fix, then you wouldn't have free will, right? On the other extreme, the tikkun could be something that a mitzvah that you davka feel is very challenging, very difficult. And that's a sign that that's what you're here for. Now, in our generation, and really throughout history, the most... let me start out with... I once was asked to speak at a funeral of a child who passed away at a very young age. And there's really not that much to say at a eulogy, because he didn't do anything wrong, and he didn't do anything right, and it's not reward, and it's not punishment, and these are things that we just don't understand. And then it hit me that this child actually did something very right. He was born and lived in the land of Israel, and he was buried in the land of Israel. And even though if he just lived, a very short life, he actually was zoche to do things that the Vilna Gaon didn't do, and the Chafetz Chaim didn't do, right? They never made it to Israel. They never were buried in the land of Israel. And in our generation, we have 2,000 years of people who never made it to the land of Israel. And even the greatest tzaddikim, they need that tikkun. So they need to come to Israel at least for a short time, live here, get the zchuyot of Eretz Yisrael, be buried in Eretz Yisrael. And that's one of the explanations when we talk about the Gemara talks about when a person is buried in Chutz La'aretz, he has to roll around, in the caves underground till he comes to Eretz Yisrael. It's one of those picturesque things that all children remember from elementary school. And one of the explanations is, what is the Hebrew word for rolling around? Gilgul. And it's not that you have to roll around underground, but it's to come back in reincarnation, at least for a short time period. And that is, by the way, if you know somebody who lives in Chutz La'aretz, By the way, you will never find a Kabbalist who lives in Chutz Laretz, because anybody who's learned Kabbalah knows the really importance of Eretz Yisrael.
They were in the past.
Yeah, when you couldn't do it. Yeah, but today, that anybody who's learned Kabbalah knows the importance of Eretz Yisrael, and also knows that every person today has been here before, and that is one of the tikkunim that everybody needs.
The way he presents it before of someone coming into the next world and being given the choice of doing tikkun in Gehinnom for 12 months or coming back here to be metaken,
yeah,
that would imply or suggest, you know, something they could have done but didn't do. But all the 2,000 years we were banished from Eretz Israel, and it was virtually impossible for many people. How's that a tikkun? As in, that was onus.
Oh, so those program is not a punishment, but they need that tikkun. So those, we're not talking about, like we said, the Vilna Gaon. He definitely didn't need to go to hell. Nevertheless, he had to come back. By the way, you have to come back as a Kohen also. You know, there are certain mitzvot that Kohanim do that others don't do. But there's a good chance that you were already a Kohen before. You know, so you don't have to worry about that.
Well, you know, they tell you that, they say that once you come to Israel, you're not allowed to leave Israel.
Oh, that's a halacha question that we're not going to get into. But, did I turn off the recording? Oh, no. Okay. Okay, we're running out of time. What about Tchiyat HaMetim? The revival of the dead. By the way, maybe once on Gilgul Neshamot, I should mention that the Kabbalistic explanation for those who are born with deaf or blind or special needs, whatever it is, they were here before and did not finish their tikkun. And usually they were here a lot of times and they just didn't get it right. And one of the most classic tikkunim, it was always difficult, is Lashon Hara. And also Tzniut. Arayot, Brit Hamilah and Brit Hamilah, right? The spoken word and the word and the issue of man and woman relationships, and because they were so challenging, many people didn't get it right, and they have to come back. And if you mess up over and over again, according to the Zohar, at some point the soul will say to Hashem, can you do me a favor and help me? You know, maybe bring me back as somebody who's deaf and doesn't hear Lashon Hara, or somebody like who's incapable and doesn't know what's going on. And Bikitsur, that's the Kabbalistic explanation for a lot of the questions that you don't understand in this world, that things don't seem just. Well, if you would know what was going on before, so then that would make things different. Tchiyat HaMetim. Who goes into Tchiyat HaMetim? So basically, let's see the pasuk in Daniel. Where is that? Where's Daniel? Gotta bring Daniel.
Yeah, source 9.
Source number 9. Here we go. V'rabim mishenei admat afar yakitzu ele lichay olam ve'ele lichirpot lederon olam. Like we said before, in books like Daniel, we find more explicit reference to Olam Haba. It's from the time of the second Beit HaMikdash. And he says that many of those... Can somebody turn off their microphone? Somebody's microphone is on. I hear myself twice. Again, V'rabim mishenei, this is Daniel Yudbet Bet. Many of those who are, quote-unquote, sleeping in the ground, in other words, that have been buried, they will wake up. In other words, not everyone wakes up for Tchiyat HaMetim. But those who will wake up, Ele Lechaye Olam, they will have that eternal pleasure and never die. Ve'ela, on the other hand, Lechirpot Lederon Olam, those who are really, really bad people. By the way, we're talking about a very, very few people in world history, who are just punished forever. The Gemara in Gittin talks about Bilam and Yeshu and who else is on that list? Anyway, the Mishnah in Masechet Sanhedrin, this I think I forgot to bring here, but it is in Perek Chelek. Kol Yisrael Yesh Lam Chelek L'Olam. About all Jews have a share in the world to come, except for a couple of individuals. Yeravam Benevat, Achav, Minashe. In other words, we're counting on a handful those Jews who have no share in the world to come. In other words, if you're learning Torah here, and you're learning the writings of Rav Kook, don't worry, you have a share in the world to come. My father once explained to me that it's like Lahavdil, a baseball game, where some people have really good seats, and some people are sitting so far away that the nosebleeds seats. Bilam has no share in the world to come. Doeg Achitofel. And also Goyim. Goyim, when it talks about, for example, Anshei Sdom, people of the city of Sdom, they were really, really bad, and they weren't Jewish. And it says, Ein lehem chelik l'olam haba, they have no share in the world to come. Aval omdim bedin. They, in the punishment day of where the tzaddikim go to Tchiyat HaMetim, there is a handful of people who are really, really bad, who they will suffer forever. Now, what about the Beinonim? So it's a machloket. There are those that say that the Beinonim stay in Olam HaNishamot. You know, it's good for them. And they're not on that level where they really used the physical world in a spiritual way. So they're not on the level of Tchiyat HaMetim. Others say that almost all Jews, and that's what it sounds like from the Mishnah Masechet Sanhedrin, that the vast majority of Am Yisrael does go to Tchiyat HaMetim. So to summarize, you do your best shot, you do best you can. And by the way, if you ever do anything wrong, do tshuva. And tshuva takes care of everything. If you hurt another person, so you have to apologize to that person as well. So, you know, and Yom Kippur is a good time where everyone's apologizing to everyone to take the opportunity to apologize. We succeeded in a nutshell, hopefully covering most of the important topics. Okay.